Hi, Donald.
Hey,
To
Terry.
everyone who's listening, this is Donald Sojak. Donald has worked with Jay Abraham, Tony Robbins, Evan Pagan, Chet Holmes,
To name a few.
all on their top sales and marketing teams. And Donald's been a really big force in my life. We met about 6 to 7 years ago, I think, was when we
Oh,
first met.
wow.
Yeah.
Time just goes.
I was in a very, very, very different place then. And a lot of the reason why I'm here and doing what I'm doing is because of you, man. So, first of all, thank you.
Oh, you're welcome, Ari. Thank you for being a man of action.
I try. I feel very honored to have this conversation, and I think everyone listening, it's really a treat because, especially for people who want to work with their soul, when you get into sales and marketing, it becomes very tricky how to do that. When you're actually working and helping people, it's a lot easier, but it's very, very tricky to do it when you need to sell and you need to market yourself. And I've learned from lots of people over the years, and I've struggled and I've tried doing things different ways. I've tried following your advice. Admittedly, I've tried not following your advice. And I've come to the conclusion that everything that you told me, I realized from following and not following it, was spot on, dead accurate in terms of how to sell, how to build a business, and how to do it in a way that's really nice and authentic and feels. So it's really a pleasure to have this conversation with you, man. I thank you so much for doing it.
Well, you're welcome. But the key to it too is everybody wants the path of success. And I will tell you, the path to success is achieved through failure. You have to do it wrong more to get it right. You can't just do it right. That's not it. And I've done it wrong more than probably anybody. I probably have failed more than anybody. That's how you get it right. So don't be afraid of failure. Don't be afraid of failure. And when you fail too, it's like, it's like in cooking, you've got the sweet and the savory. You have to have both. If it's sweet all the time, it just is no good. And if it's savory all the time, it's no good. So the thing to remember is don't be afraid of doing it wrong. Just do it. That's probably the biggest thing.
And I, for a long time, and that's the advice you gave me. You gave me this advice a long, long time. And at some point, I was like, there's got to be a right way to do this. It can't be that the right way is to keep on doing it wrong. And I tried finding it. And you know what? That was one of the most wrong things I ever did. I lost so much business from that mistake and so much energy and anguish from thinking I'm gonna find the right way to do it. So without further ado, let's get into it. So the first question I have for you is, why do we have to sell? What's the point of selling? Why don't clients just come to us?
Okay, so give me the biggest question right up front. Okay, we have to sell. I think there's a resistance in the human spirit to change. However, in order to get anywhere, we have to change. And so, why we have to sell is because we're actually asking people to change. So there's a level of resistance. And so we almost have to, well, part of it is you've got to make what is on the other side so appealing that they will push through the struggle that it takes to get there. And so sales is truly about finding what they really want, not what you're really selling, but what they really want, and helping them understand that on the other side of whatever you're going to do with them, going to give them, that it's going to give them or lead them to that thing that they really want. And so why do we have to sell? Because it's human nature to resist. And so we are actually doing humanity a big favor by selling. I think some of the reasons salespeople are probably the most highest paid people is because I think they serve humanity the most.
That's wow.
We have to sell.
You know, so anyone listening who thinks that that's some, you know, like egotistical BS or something like that, you know, like you have to, I want you to know that I once came to Donald and said, I want to buy this thing. And Donald told me, no, I don't think you're ready yet.
Yeah.
And you convinced me not to. You're not saying that you just get people to change, ready or not. It means that you really hold their hand through the process and help them make a change that they really want to make.
Well, and you know, this is probably what separates mediocre salespeople from truly world-class salespeople. A world-class salesperson does not look at the sale. They look at the big picture. In other words, how many years ago did you say we connected?
It was 2018, 2019, wow. Somewhere in there.
Okay, so think about it. And here we are. Have I sold you anything since then?
No.
Okay.
No.
But would you say that you're an advocate for me?
Yeah.
So because of the way I did something years ago, you have over and over been an advocate for me. And you've brought other people into my sphere of influence over and over. So I didn't just make a sale. Right? I created a chain reaction that is still rippling today. That's the difference. That's what you're looking for. You don't want to be short-sighted. You want to be long-sighted on the product. So there you go. And you want to be real. Okay? And so you don't want to put on airs. And see, like, if I was putting on air, I would pretend I'm in some fancy studio. But you see, I'm out on my deck and I'm in my kitchen. I'm being real. I'm taking something out of my oven, right? So many people want to pretend there's something they're not, or somewhere they're not, or any number of things. And you know, the big 800-pound gorilla that is happening right now in the world is called artificial intelligence, AI, right? Whether it's in sales or marketing or customer service or coaching, right? But you know what AI will never replace? Being present and being a human being. And if you're present, truly present and real and a human being, there's something that will always need that. We're always going to need that. We will always seek it out. We will always respond positively to it, and it will always win the day. And that's it more than anything. I look back when I was younger and some people that I knew of that were in sales. And I remember when I was a kid, there was a shoe salesman at one of the major department stores. And he was just a marvel. But every time there was a sale, right? And this big department store would have this big once or twice a year sale. The ladies would literally line up to have him sell them shoes. They didn't want to buy shoes. They wanted to have the experience of him. Now, he wasn't like a good-looking guy. I mean, they weren't lined up because they were oogling him or anything like that, because he made them feel special, right? That was way back before the internet, you know what I mean? But he would make sure that those ladies got a special invite to the sale. And when they came, he made them feel like they were the only one that he was waiting on. Sometimes he was waiting on women at one time, you know, with shoes. But he made each one of them feel special.
And I remember back in the day, I was just marveling at it. How did he do that? How did he do that consistently? And how did he not forget a name or anything like that? It's like he knew everyone by name. And fast forward, I was probably in my late teens, early 20s at that point. Fast forward, I've learned that when I'm truly present with somebody, I never forget their name. And so what he did, the magic was that he treated everybody as a human being. He was present with everybody. And when they came back around, dozens of women at a time, he could still recall their name. Do you ever forget your children's names?
No.
Because you're present with them. Just be present with people. Watch the magic happen. That's it. It's not scripted. Just be present.
Yeah. So I think what you're saying is that if you just let people be and wait for them to come to you, a lot of people need help. They need support. They don't have someone in their life who is present with them and helps them decide to do something for themselves. And I think that, especially having worked with men and women, I definitely like I can relate to what's going on in the shoe store and what he was doing, because for a lot of women, their struggle is to take care of themselves. And this guy gave them permission and a space to feel pampered, and they came for that. It was more important. That was the shoe was just
It
the
wasn't a
vehicle.
shoe. Yeah, it wasn't a
It
shoe.
wasn't a shoe.
Yeah, and for each one of those women, it was probably something uniquely different. And he could figure out what that was.
Yeah.
What was it?
You
Right.
know, Howard Behar, one of the founding princes of like one of the three guys that built Starbucks from, a couple dozen stores to 10,000,
I
said
was going when they only had one location. In Pike Market, on well, it actually wasn't in Pike Market. It was up on First Avenue. They go down. You go to Pike Market. I said the original. No, it's not. It was a block away. But anyway, yeah.
he would say, "We're in the people business serving coffee, not the coffee business serving people."
Yeah.
So that's why we have to sell. And I think you already answered a little bit of the next question, which is, what is selling really about versus what a lot of people think it's about?
Well, it's not about talking about your features and benefits. It's not about talking about your product or service. I think real selling, well, real selling is knowing more about your potential clients or lead or whatever. It's knowing more about their world than they know about it. And so really being good at sales is truly being on top of the research of knowing the marketplace, of knowing yourself. Because I well, here there again, if you don't know yourself, you can't know somebody else. And so selling is really about knowing yourself deeply. And through that internal continuous self-discovery, you pay attention to things differently and you feel the nuances of the human spirit. And when you can start recognizing those in other people, then you start getting the building blocks of true magic. And it is more of a well, sometimes it's a probing and testing too, because I mean you can't absolutely know something, right? You got to be able to ask a question and see how somebody responds, or make a statement and watch their tonality change. If somebody starts speeding up or if they slow down, if you notice somebody starts slowing down, you say something to them, and you can feel them breathe. You're pretty close. If you're talking to somebody and they keep start speeding up, you don't have it. If you hear them kind of speeding up, they're running away from you. So the trick is to probe and ask and make statements and pay attention to their rhythm. Watch their rhythms change. Speed up, you're moving away. They're slowing down, you're getting closer. It's not what they say, it's how they say it and how they respond.
Yeah, it's really interesting that you're saying this, because I think that, especially from what I know in the coaching world, a lot of coaches think that they're bad at selling and have a hard time selling. But essentially what they're doing, when if they're doing selling according to what you're saying, then they're naturally positioned to be very good at it, because these are people who are, what they do is listen. What they do is be present. They just don't realize that, you know, the...
Well, they're thinking sales is something else, right? Sales is connecting. Sales is finding what's really going on. Sales is painting the correct picture. You don't want to pay, the danger is, though, sometimes, you know, what gives sales a bad name, I think, is a lot of the sales training out there. And a lot of the people that, I'm a salesperson, they're not a salesperson, right? They're a regurgitator of scripts. You know, the real salesperson is going to paint a picture that is real, not a fanciful picture that is not attainable. Let's paint a real picture and let's go there. How do I say it? You have to have a level of ethics, of honesty, of integrity, because ultimately you've got to build a trust bond. If you're always just selling hype, you're going to be short-lived. You're always going to have to be finding another person to pitch, because your pitches are going to fall flat. Most sales are working on a numbers game. If they talk to 100 people, maybe one person buys. Okay. That's a really hard way to make a living. You want to find 20 out of 100 that buy, not one out of 100. And to do that, you've got to be real. And you've got to play a different game, an absolutely different game.
Yeah, I resonate that with that so much, having tried the different approaches that a lot of people talk about, the numbers game. How many people do you reach out to, this, that, and the other? And
what you do, it is a numbers game, but it's not what they say at all.
The issue, when you look at it just simply as a numbers game, is like what you said, playing the long game. Let's say you reach out to 100 people and 2-3 respond and they get on a call with you.
Yeah.
If the way that you reached out was very surfacey, then the people that are respond that are going to come on the call are going to be like that.
Yeah.
And the other 97 who didn't are going to think of you as surfacey. And so even if you're making sales and getting clients, are they that good? And question number two is, what are you doing to your brand?
Well, you see, real business is built by what we call word of mouth advertising at the end of the day. Whether it's a huge international brand or just a very local thing or a small service provider. And getting word of mouth going is, it's not about a referral. It's not like getting a client and you such good work with the client, get incredible results that they tell their people. You know, people think, well, that's what referrals are. And this is why people fail at referrals. I get people to refer me who never even buy from me, because the experience of touching down with me is so good. Even though what I have is not for them, they will tell others. Before they ever get a result, they got the result of touching down with me and engaging with me. I build advocates. And how you get the client, not what you do for the client, really determines the level of word of mouth advertising that you get. Doing incredible work for a client is not going to build your business. Getting a client correctly so that they feel good about the process of becoming a client is going to build your business in multiples. Now, you still need to deliver, but delivery alone is not it. How you get the client really determines the level of word of mouth advertising that you can get out of an engagement. So when you get a lead, it's not just a lead. A lead is a touch to a network of infinite possibilities, not finite possibilities. So many people, and lead costs have gone way up. Okay, let's just face it. This is the 800-pound gorilla. And there's businesses that are struggling out there because they can't maintain their flow with the current lead costs. And the problem is because, yes, they're generating leads, but the way they're generating leads is really cannibalizing the marketplace for them.
You know, what you said was very, very deep. And that's, and you know, it was an assumption that I had when I went into this, was that once I get a handful of clients and they see how amazing the work is, referrals are just going to come.
Nope.
It doesn't work like that.
Nope.
It doesn't work like that.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm not so sure what the explanation is, but I'll tell you what I think it is. And let me know if you think I'm right. But a client's in where they are in their world, experiencing the service that you do for them, they are not necessarily able to articulate to others what that means, or they might not even feel comfortable articulating this so much to others, especially if the work is very deep and specific and
mm-hmm.
somewhat private.
Mm-hmm.
And so their friends are also maybe very different than them and not
Mm-hmm.
necessarily the right fit for you.
Yeah.
But when you're so that's why that's not necessarily such a good source. But when you're out meeting lots of people, and at the meeting phase where people just get to know you, they feel like you're just such a easy person to talk to. It's you're such a treat to deal with. You're like,
yeah.
They feel like, you know, you have something that then when they see a friend of theirs who's going through something and they connect the dots, they're like, their friend, why don't you see this guy? Because for them, they're not, when my clients talk to people about our work, it's very personal to them. They
yeah.
have to say, I'm their coach. I've helped them out with that. They might not want to tell their,
no.
But when someone who hasn't worked for me has a great impression of me, to him, this Joe Schmo, when he sees his friend is going through something and he meets him over the weekend, he's like, he sees he's suffering, he's in stress
yep.
or whatever, he'll be like, hey, speak to this guy. I saw he could help. Like, he loses nothing of himself
yep.
by doing that. There's
yep.
only a win for that. And I think that's really what it is. I never quite understood it as well as when you articulated that. But yeah, your referrals, they don't come from your clients. They come from the people you meet as you're
yeah.
trying to get clients based on how you're doing that.
Yeah. I can't tell you how many people I get this. They said, somebody just said I needed to talk to you. I don't even know what you do, but they said I need to talk to you. Okay. I don't know what you do, but they said, I need to talk to Donald. Okay, here I am. I'm Donald. Great. How can I help you? I don't know. What do you do? Well, I don't know. You know, and we start having a conversation. That happens to me all the time. All the time.
Wow. So in terms of the answer of what is selling really about versus what people think it's about, it's really about being present and connecting with people and giving
Mm-hmm.
people an experience of who you are. But it's not about talking about what you do or how amazing it is.
Nope, people could care less. Ari, where are you at?
What do you mean, where am I at?
Where are you physically at?
Israel.
Where were you before that?
Pennsylvania.
How long have you been in Israel?
4.5 years.
What brought you to Israel?
A desire to go back to the homeland.
Why was that important to you?
I think around that time, it was around COVID time, the deeper need for security, stability,
Mm-hmm.
sense of being at home.
Mm.
And for a lot of people like me, increased.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How does it feel being there?
It feels like I'm home.
Oh. It was worth it, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
Yeah. So what did I just do?
You got me to open up.
Yeah. So here's the formula. Where are you? You told me where you were. Where were you before that? You see, so many people are, where are you at? Oh, great. You know, and they said they just go on about that. No. Where were you before that? What made you come there? Right? Do you see how the conversation changed? What brought you there? Whole different conversations. Hey, where are you at? Israel. And they start talking about, hey, you know, what's it like in Israel? It's very superficial, right? But I got to find out why you came there. And I was into the deep emotion of it that fast. Took less than 2 minutes.
That was very fast.
Very fast. And you could feel it. And you're still feeling it.
Yeah, I feel at home.
See? And then now you've actually transitioned that feeling into our conversation. And you're feeling even better about me.
Yeah, I was just going to say that talking to you, it is very, very comforting, very securing. I mean, when I the one thing that I did buy from you in the program that I was in, I remember the guy running it said that, you know, part of the program was people had a conversation with you, could have conversations with you, one-on-one calls. And I think he said that you guys have the opportunity to have therapy with Donald. You should take him up on it. Remember he said that? But it's, you know, yeah, we've always felt that way in our conversations.
And see, it's not fake. I really care. You see, the deal of it is, you see, I don't just say it. I care. And you can't fake that. You
Yeah,
can try. You can try. Good luck.
and we've been in touch on and off throughout the years, and it's been 3 months, 6 months, and like when we get on the call, it's same thing
Same thing.
right there.
No. Do I do this 100% of the time? I don't, because I mess it up. I mess it up with human beings, like everybody else. So don't beat yourself up. See, it's the other thing too about it. Realize that you're not going to connect with everybody. You can try, but it just doesn't happen. It just doesn't happen. Look for the ones you do connect with. That's it. Some people aren't meant to be together. Or they're not meant to be together forever. You know, you just have to accept that. It's hard to accept. I've had to accept those things in my own personal life. It's not easy. It's not easy. But let go of that. Let go of that. Pay attention to the people who are actually in your world at any given moment. That's more important. You can beat yourself up with, oh, I wish I had, or I wish I would, or anything like that. No, just be present with, this is what I actually did. This is where I am. That's all you can do.
You know, I think the question that I would have listening to this before I understood it, and that others might have listening, is that when you're given a script of a sale, or even if it's not a word to word script, but the anatomy of a sale, like, you know, this is where you get to know the client. This is the questions you ask. This is where you determine there's a need. Then you show them you have. Then you ask them for whatever. All these things, it becomes easy to understand. How do I actually get to the point where the person says, I want to buy from you, and you actually close? But when you're talking like this, it's like, where does it come? And I think you can answer this, but I would, if can I give my answer?
Absolutely.
It comes out of nowhere. It comes from them. And like, you know, and like I said earlier, like when I made the mistake and I started doing things, trying to find a way to do things, and it worked out, and it started not working. And I realized, and I woke up, and I was like, all this new stuff I'm doing that I think is the thing is not the thing. So then I had to like basically start over, just doing nothing, just talking to people, connecting with them. And within the first couple weeks of doing that, I'm on a call with someone, and I'm just getting to know him, and he's just getting to know me. And then out of nowhere, he's like, so what's it like to work with you? What does it cost? He's like, yeah, I think I want to start doing that. And I'm like, wait, what?
So to
I just busted my behind for months trying to actually do this, and no one said yes. And here I'm not even trying to do anything, and all of a sudden the guy wants to buy from me.
Typical sales guy. Let's get you started. Real sales. When they ask, what do we need to do to get started? That's real sales. Doesn't happen every time, but magic to my ears is I'm talking to somebody who says, what do I need to do to work with you? What do I need to get this product? What do I need to do? Do you take American Express? Yeah, we take American Express. Okay. Here's my credit card number. I had a guy do that to me last week. He says, do you take American Express? He says, yeah, we take American Express. Here's my card number. He didn't even wait. I mean, I wasn't even ready to take his card number. He says, here's my card number. It's okay. Hold on. Let me figure out where to put that. That's what you're looking for. That's what you're looking for. No.
It sounds like crazy, but if you flip it around and you think of what would feel good to you as the customer, to be able to talk with someone who asks nothing from you, doesn't push anything on you, is just sitting there listening, understanding, helping.
Yeah.
To let it come from you and be like, I think I want to know more about this. Like, what is this?
Yeah.
This is interesting to me.
Yeah. One of the gentlemen I learned from years ago, Eric Liebman, and I worked in the piano stores, and he ran one of our branch piano stores. And I actually had a piano studio in that piano store. I was the piano mover. I was the piano teacher. And I sold pianos. I did everything. But Eric put his desk at the back of the store. And people would come in the store, and he'd kind of acknowledge them. And he let them wander through all of the instruments till they got to the back of the store. And usually the most expensive instruments were out in front, and the old reconditioned uprights were in the back. And he basically got to the back and he'd say, which one do you want? He sold more pianos than anybody. He didn't go up and tell them and talk to them about each piano, nothing. He'd just say, which one do you want? Now, Eric knew more about all of those pianos than just about anybody. He had owned a major music store in the Chicago area when he was younger. And then I think his wife got cancer, and then he moved out, and she died. Then he moved out to Seattle with his new wife. And rather than opening a store, he went to work as a sales guy. Right? But he just would wait for them to get to the back of the store. He allowed them to take their time and look through, and he could, as they were looking at ones, and just say, which one do you want?
That's simple.
Yeah. I mean, the panels were all there. I mean, you just like, they're walking, they're just like, hey, you got any questions? Which one do you want? Once in a while, he'd get up and answer a question or, play something on one of the instruments for them if they couldn't play. If they came in, they didn't really know how to play or something. And he says, well, let me play a couple songs that I know. Plays a couple songs, he's a very accomplished keyboard player. That's all I did. I'm a big fan.
I think it was you who told me about the sales guy at a car dealership once. I think it was Mercedes.
Yep.
He didn't say anything.
No.
He would just sit with you in the car.
And
he would just take a deep breath and just enjoy the car.
It's just like, and the Mercedes, it was the leather, right? And I was looking at Cadillacs at that time. They both had leather interiors, right? But Mercedes had a certain kind of smell to it, right? Signature, right? It was the kind of leather they had in the car. And he just sat there and he went, I almost bought it on the spot. I mean, I wasn't in the market for Mercedes because I really wanted it, and I actually did get a Cadillac. But dang, I almost bought a Mercedes when he did that. Because he took me to a whole nother level. I still remember it. I can remember the suit he was wearing. Kind of a lighter gray suit. He had a white shirt and he had a kind of a narrow black tie. And he just went.
And for anyone listening whose head's swimming, not understanding how this has anything to do with listening to a person or being present with them, sometimes being present with someone means being present with yourself when you're with them. Being authentically who you are. And if you're selling something and you believe in what you're selling, then just being open about how much it means to you, just the experience of what it's like to be in it. And it gives that person a window into a different way of being that if it resonates with them and it's what they're looking for, even though they weren't aware of it beforehand, then they'll want it. You know, I think a lot of the things that we're taught to do in selling is telling stories. But I mean, when you're telling a story about really what you do and who you are, or something to give the person you're talking to a window into the world that you're offering to them, it's very, very powerful.
Well, like because you love snowboarding, right? And when you talk about snowboarding, you change, you illuminate. So when you tell me a story about snowboarding, I could care less about snowboarding. But I care to hear you talk about it because your passion lies there. And I love your stories about snowboarding, not because of snowboarding, it's because Ari is telling the story of snowboarding. And I'm almost like I'm on the slope with you, even though I will never snowboard. That's the
Maybe
difference.
I'll take you one day. Come on, man.
Ah,
Yeah.
maybe. There's a few things. It's like I somebody wanted to take me White River, whitewater rafting, last week, no, the weekend before last. I said, no, thank you. Maybe 20 years ago, but not now. Not now. I got other things. I got grandkids now. That's my snowboarding now is me playing with my granddaughter and my grandson will be walking soon and they'll be chasing him.
Yeah. This is a question that I asked you earlier before this is actually what was what inspired me wanting to do this whole thing. But you know, when we're reaching out to people, we are because we're not trying to sell in the way the convention the way people understand it as pushing our solutions onto them. Because we're trying to sell through presence and authentically connecting and trying to serve and understand another person. On the one hand, we do need to follow up. You know, we have a conversation with someone, they're not necessarily going to remember to reach. We need to reach out, we need to follow up. But we also don't want to be pushy. We also don't want to become too attached. And not give them the space that they need. And sometimes it's not always easy to know in a
Correct.
situation which is which, or even in a conversation. You know, sometimes I have a conversation with someone and I'm not sure. Is it time to ask? Is it time to say like, so what are you ready to do this? Or is it not time? How do you navigate that?
I don't. Sometimes I really mess it up. Sometimes I don't push enough. Sometimes I push too much. It's a battlefield call sometimes. It's not going to be the same every time. I got a group of people I'm following up with right now. And today, it's a holiday weekend here. My gut level says, do I message him today or do I wait till tomorrow, first day of the business week? I don't know yet. And I don't know. I don't have a clear answer. I don't know, right? I don't know. So try something. I think the key is try something.
And
Or you could also be humble, say, I don't know if this is the right time, but it's been a week since we talked. Or just be nonchalant. Hey, just checking in. How are you doing? And don't say, hey, just checking in. Are you ready to buy? Say, hey, just checking in. How are you doing?
And to everyone who's listening to this, who's kind of like wondering, wait a second, is this guy, does this guy really know what he's talking about? I know I said it, but can you remind everyone who you worked with and what you've done for them?
Well, Chet Holmes was probably my primary mentor, and Chet's been gone from us now about a decade, but Chet was a leader in sales, there's no question about it, and especially B2B sales. And not only did I get out on his team, but I helped train his team, and I was the top core story. That was his signature marketing package salesperson of all time. A record to this day has not been beat as far as raw numbers of actual sales. Okay, Troy Eberle has actually beat me in dollar value of sales, and Troy and I actually, it's kind of funny, we're kind of in a slight partnership now, but when it comes down to actual numbers of sales, nobody beats me. I went from that work to doing enterprise sales for a software company, and in an industry I knew nothing about. I was not an expert, and everybody else on the team had been selling in that industry 10 and 20 years. They all told me that, you'll be here a year before you make your first sale. I think I made my first sale in the first few weeks. And then within 6 months, I had sold the two largest contracts that company has ever had to this day. I basically sold a major branch of the United States government into a contract with them, and I sold a Fortune 10 company into a contract with them. Multiple million-dollar contracts with
And
both
how
of them.
did you do that?
It wasn't anything about what I was selling. I found out who I needed to talk to. I developed a relationship with them. I found out what was going on in their world. For the federal government, there was a guy named Ian, and I called every office, branch office of that government agency. I started in San Francisco and worked my way across the country. I didn't even know who to talk to, right? And I finally figured it out just by process of elimination. And then it was a guy named Ian out of the Nebraska office. And he was on vacation. And I said, well, when will he be back? Well, he'll be back next week. And so I called in a week later. I say, is Ian back from vacation? Yeah, Ian's back. Great. And they put me right through to him. And we talked. And I says, well, what do you really want? He says, you know what? I've been around here a few decades. I hate the contracting process. If I told you exactly what I needed and the exact top dollar we can pay for it, and I gave that to you, can you make a proposal so I don't even put it out for bid? Which they call single sourcing, and we did that. And then with the Fortune 10 company, basically, it was a guy named Joe. I know his last name, but I don't want to say it out loud here. But in other words, I found out who was in charge of the project. I said, what do they really need? He says, well, the problem is there's no vendors that have exactly what we need. And you guys don't even have exactly what we need. But our idea would be if we can have match your software with that hardware, I think we can do it. I says, well, let me go to work. And I called up that hardware vendor. And I says, hey, can we get our software talking with your hardware? He says, yeah, we've actually been thinking about partnering with somebody. You guys would be the obvious person to do that with, right? I called Joe back. He says, hey, you know what? I think we got a solution for you. I think we got the hardware and the software ready to talk together. And I think we can run it for you guys. Oh man, God, that would solve all of our problems. Great. I don't know anything about that. I didn't even know if we could do it. Right?
And the reason why this magic works is because a lot of people are stuck in their world. If they're in the problem, they're stuck in the problem. They don't see that there might be a solution. And a lot of people who are providing the solutions are in the real world of their solution. They don't see the problem. So when you have someone who helps a person see what their problem is and gets to know them and then can go out to creatively make a solution, you're able to close deals incredible and do incredible things because no one else is doing that.
No. You know, the 800-pound gorilla in the room is coaches because they think their modality is everything. It's not. Maybe it's your modality combined with somebody else's modality that makes it. Most of my work now is done in collaboration with others. It's not everything that I know. I put together conglomerations of service providers or experts that actually make things happen. Because it's not any one of them. It's a combination of things. You know, imagine you're doing deep mindset work with somebody, but they're massively overweight, right? You need to get them some other help. You see, you know, I've got a friend that can help you with nutrition and diet. Maybe if we work together with mindset and nutrition and diet, we can truly help you change your life. Or I'm doing some deep work myself right now, and I have three coaches working with me. They're all working on a different aspect of the things that I need to have happen. Any one of them alone is not going to give me my answer. But together, three of them in coordination is changing my world for me. Each one of them doesn't have the answer by themselves. And they're willing to admit that. And they're not saying, oh, only work with me. Don't work with anybody else. No, they're basically saying, yes, work with me and I can help you on this corner of this, but you need to find somebody else to help you with that. And you know what? Something else could help you would be that, right? And that's what I'm doing right now. And it's changing my life. I would say I have gone farther in the last 6 months than I did in the previous 66 years. And I would say in the last month, I've made another leap because I'm finding combinations of people to help me. And most of it's between the ears, full disclosure. Most of it's between the ears.
I think, I mean, what it sounds to me like what you're saying is that it's the opposite of what you think. You know, the salesperson mm-hmm. is like egotist. It's really a lot of humility.
Yeah.
It takes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, it yeah. takes, if you think that you have to be the solution to everybody and your solution is the solution to all their problems,
yeah.
it's going to be hard to sell in this way because
yep.
you're not really going to be open to listening.
Yeah. Starbucks does not want everybody to be their client. They're not trying to be the client, the provider for everybody. In the Seattle area, there's a proliferation of other coffee roasters and coffee shops. I mean, we probably have more per capita in the Seattle area than anybody. They are not discouraged to be in business by Starbucks. They're actually encouraged. Actually, by Starbucks actually encourages, not I would say like directly, but I mean, they don't try to squash their competition because their competition creates a desire for coffee. Not everybody's going to go to a Starbucks. But more people drinking coffee does Starbucks a lot of good. Coca-Cola, the same thing. Not everybody's going to drink soda, number one. But everybody that drinks soda, not everybody's going to drink Coke. And they don't need everybody to drink Coke to be successful. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Get the crowd moving in your direction and catch some of them. You don't want, and see, here's the problem with coaches. Coaches are too often selling their coaching modality. And that's not what it is. Sell people on actually being coached. Forget about your modality. People need coaches, period. No matter what. It has nothing to do with your modality. It's not your modality. People need coaches. People need good coaches. People need even better coaches. But before you can sell them on your coaching, sell them on actually being coached. Are they coachable? If mm-hmm. they're not coachable, don't sign them up as a client. You're heading for disaster. Are they, number one, are they coachable? Right? If they're not, you got to sell them on actually being coached first. Let them go to somebody else and have a bad experience with coaching. Right? You'll have a better client than trying to force your modality down their throat when they don't want it.
You know, it's Really interesting, because when I started this, I was very excited about a modality that I created, and I use it for myself and I use it with some of my clients. But the work revealed to me that most of the clients, most of the time, what they really need is for me to say, forget all that.
Forget
I'm
all that.
listening to you, and I'm going to stand with you in your world, and we're going to figure this out from where you are.
Yes. Like I check my potatoes. Make sure I don't overcook my potatoes.
And that was humbling,
Yeah.
but it was also liberating at the same time.
Yeah. Potatoes are done. Once a week, bake four big russet potatoes. And then I have them as hash browns all week. But I have to remember I had to bake the potatoes, otherwise, I don't get hash browns. So today's my day to bake potatoes.
For everyone who doesn't understand what they just heard, this is these are recipes. I found the word's not coming to me, but these are proprietary recipes of how to make hash browns, where you have to cook the potato first. This is what
Ah.
explained to me, because if you try making the hash brown with raw potato, you have to cook it so long on the frying pan that
Not healthy.
Here, if you cook it ahead of time, just a little bit of sauteing and your hash browns are all ready.
Oh my gosh. In moments. And so I four big potatoes. Here on Sunday, Monday through Friday, and then Monday morning they're cold. I grate them, right? Put them in a big container and just put out a portion each day. That and a couple eggs and a little bit of sweet onion and green bell pepper and incredible meal.
This is the real value. This is why we had this conversation.
Yeah. And you see, some of my clients have been leading nutritionists, right? Nora Gagaudis is a dear friend and learned so much from her. You've got to you've got to feed your mind, you've got to feed your stomach, you've got to feed your soul. It's a mind body thing. And so to be good in sales, to be good in life, you've got to be in alignment with your creator, whatever you think that is. You've got to be in alignment with nourishing your brain with really good things, good thoughts, good feelings, good knowledge. You need to nourish your body with good, pure foods. And good exercise, and you need to take your shoes off and ground yourself to the earth. Okay. This is all what it takes to truly be successful. You can't do any one of those in isolation. So when people come to me for help, because I've got a couple sales teams right now I'm working with, they're always surprised at how I start. Nobody says, you got your shoes on, take your shoes off, feel the ground. And even if it's just the floor of wherever you're at. Feel the ground, right? Are you going, are you spending time in quiet meditation, right? Or is your mind so busy that you can't figure anything out? Quiet yourself. If you believe, pray, right? If or meditate, or just sit and look at the world around you, whatever that world is. If you're in the city, go outside and just find the sidewalk or I live out in the woods and I'm sitting here on my deck and it's summertime right now. So I'm outside and I'm just looking at the trees and the birds and I got bunny rabbits running through my yard. I got a couple of my chickens are pecking around the yard. I spend time quieting myself. I spend time writing, journaling. I spend time nurturing. Oh, so here's the thing. Okay, here's sales 101. Spend time nurturing good relationships with just people. Think about your friends, right? So many people they truly aren't being a good friend. You want to be a good salesperson? Be a good friend. Listen to your friends. Call your friends up. How are you doing? What's going on? Are you hurting? Can I come over and talk? Can I do anything for you? Can I come help you out? Today, after I get through with this, I'm going to probably call my oldest son today and say, "Hey, what are you doing?
Can I come over and just sit with you? No agenda, right? And other than I want to maybe play with my grandkids, but it's not like, hey, can I come and get something for you? He says, no, can I just come and be with you? You know, we went out to breakfast yesterday. And I just said, hey, can I just tag along? He went out to his breakfast with his friends. He always goes on Saturday, and I went along. Practice being present with people. Practice sitting on a bench and just turn to the next person and say, hey, isn't it beautiful out today? Hey, isn't it wonderful? And you know the danger out there. I mean, you're there in Israel, and you know I'm over in the United States, and we can get so wrapped up with so much of the negative stuff that's going on in the world, and we can say, "Oh, the world's going to heck in a handbasket." It's always doing that, right? Man's inhumanity to man has always been; it always will be. Nothing's going to stop that. So, what part of it do you want to focus on, right? In the U.S. over here, I think there was a huge flash flood in Texas, and some people lost their life. Right? People lose their lives every day. It's tragic, you know. But you know how many people didn't lose their life? Do you know how many people don't hate their neighbor? Do you know how many people actually smile today? In the news, like 10 people frowned today. Yeah, but you know, 90 people smile today. They never tell you that. Hey, 90 people smile today. We saw 1% improvement in people smiling. The news never says that. Just stop it for a moment, would you? I mean, look at the animal kingdom. I mean, I got these big eagles. I got these little bunny rabbits, right? And once in a while, the eagle comes down and gets a bunny rabbit. Well, you know, the bunny's dinner, right? And you don't go, oh, no, the poor little bunny. That's just part of it. A bunny's going to die. An eagle's going to live. Something's going to get the eagle. I don't know what's going to get the eagle, but something will, right? So that's just the cycle of life. It's okay. It's okay, right? All of us are getting older. None of us are getting younger. Live with it. Grieve. People die. Yes, let's be sorrowful. I lost a son 8 years ago. You know, do I grieve him? Absolutely. Right? But I have five other children that are living. I got two grandchildren. Right? Do I not remember James? No, I remember him. I remember him every day. But I don't let that hold me down so much that I don't pay attention to my grandson, who's almost ready to start walking. Right? So find the sunshine. Find the ray of hope. I mean, don't be Pollyanna like, hey, everything's wonderful. It's not. Okay? It's a mess. But don't sit in the mess so much that you fail to see the beauty that God has put in front of us. Right? And just sit there and look for a moment. And just hold on to that. You know, and if you can bring that peace inside of yourself, I think you've got a better chance of not just selling, but being a human being. Do that, right? My life hasn't been perfect. I've made mistakes. I've had broken relationships, right? That doesn't mean I can't have new relationships. That doesn't mean I can't find love. I've lost love. I'll get love again. It's okay, right? That's sales.
Yeah. To anyone listening who wasn't sure how the dots are connecting, what Donald's saying is that, what I'm hearing him say is that if you want to sell better, live better.
Oh.
Come to people with a life and an energy that when they look at you, they want it.
Yeah.
I remember when I was finishing my studies here in Israel. I was very, very close to one particular mentor. And when I left, we had a very deep conversation before I left. And one of the things he told me was, you know, to be good, to be what they taught me to be.
Yeah.
And so I asked him, what does that mean? What does it mean to be what you taught? Like, how will I know? There's so much to learn, so much to do. How would I know? And he said, if you walk down the street and the people who look at you want to be like you, they want to have what you have, you're doing it right. And I think what you're saying is that real selling is about that.
It is.
So, Donald, I want to thank you so much for having this conversation.
Oh, this was fun. This did a lot for me. So personally, this was a therapy session. So anytime, Ari.
If anyone listening to this has any questions and wants to reach out to you, how should they find you?
DonaldStojack.com, it's my name. Connect with me on LinkedIn. Enrollmentmasterclass.com is my sales training. I work with a lot of individual salespeople, a lot of coaches, sales teams. I touch down with a lot of companies of different sizes. I've got a whole team of experts behind me, so I've got a rather deep and wide bench of other people that complement my work, and we come into companies and absolutely rock their world, big and small, from nonprofits to major Fortune 10 companies. We've got the bandwidth. I'm not naming names, but major companies like Costco have had people on my team turn them around. And those stories are in the journals of business history. They're verifiable. And just Google my name and you'll see what I'm talking about.
I'll put links to these things wherever I post this video. And thank you again, Donald. Thank you so much for doing this. This was great. It was as deep as I imagined it would be and more. Okay, thank you so much.